So if you would take your Bible and open it to 2 Samuel, go to the 22nd chapter, we'll begin to consider where real strength comes from. In fact, today's teaching I've titled Inner Strength. Hear a lot of things these days about being strong, new shows on the television for the summer, to be a Spartan, to be strong, to be an American ninja, all these different things. And this is physical strength, which of course you can build or you can lose. And as you get older, you certainly will not have the same strength you had when you were younger. But real strength, pure strength, strength that can be counted on, comes from inside. That's where real strength comes from. And here at 2 Samuel 22, you have this record, which is referred to as David's song. And David, of course, sang this to God in terms of praise and thanksgiving and acknowledging all that God had done for him. In verse 31, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all them that trusted him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my what? Strength and power. And he maketh my way perfect." And of course, David was the sweet psalmist of Israel, and as well as the king, and considered to be, by God, a man after his own heart. And he acknowledged where that strength came from. God is my strength and power. And God is your strength and power as well. When you need strength, real strength, that goes far beyond physical strength, it comes from within, and it comes from God. Look in Psalm 18, if you would, please. The 18th Psalm. Verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Again, this is David. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me." You know what a compass is. Maybe you remember from school, you would take that compass and you could draw a perfect circle. You put the point down on the paper. And so what he said here, which is recorded, "the sorrows of death compassed me," that means all around him. No place to go, no place to look. "The floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even unto his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hail, stones, and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hail, stones, coals of fire, yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord. at the blast of thy breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, sometimes it seems the things in the world are just too much, too strong. But yet, God is our strength, and he will strengthen us from within. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And so that's a song of victory which continues on. David faced many, many trials and tribulations in his life, things that, of course, threatened him as well as the entire people of Israel. And yet David continued to walk and talk with God regardless of what happened, acknowledging that God is his strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. And God is your strength, your fortress, your rock, your strong deliverer. Look in Psalm 19. Since we're right here, look in verse 14. I just love this one. This is a great attitude to have on a daily basis. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's just an awesome attitude to embrace. That the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, the things we don't say, that they're acceptable in God's sight. What does it matter what goes on in the world as long as God is our strength, as long as God is our redeemer? What does it matter what we face as long as God strengthens us and redeems us? Look at 2 Corinthians. True strength comes from God. True strength comes from within. You know, it says in the Word that all the glory of man, the youth, the glory, all of it's like the flower of the grass. Here today, gone tomorrow. Physically, it just goes. Your physical body, or whatever strength you might have had, whatever vitality, youth, all of that, it escapes. It goes away. There's no, absolutely no way of holding on to it. There just simply isn't. And yet, you can be strengthened with great might from within. This is the Apostle Paul here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Not a big deal for me to boast. Doesn't help. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, he's talking about himself here. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. He wasn't permitted to tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught away, it should read, to the third heaven. Not caught up. Because, you know, in some of these Eastern religions, they stack the heavens, you know. You have different levels that you can ascend to in these Eastern religions, which is a bunch of nonsense, of course. But that's what they teach. That's what they believe, that you reach these different levels of heavens. So caught up is wrong. It's caught away. It would be not straight up, but to the left or the right. In other words, in a period of time, let's say time were to go from the center to your right, that's what it's talking about. Caught away to that third heaven, into the future, to see by revelation this vision. I knew such a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, pardon me, I cannot tell, I'm not permitted. God knows how that he was caught away up into paradise. You see, again, You can't be caught up into paradise. You're standing in paradise. Paradise is always the garden of God, always a place upon earth. Now, there are religions which refer to heaven as paradise, but that's wrong. Biblically speaking, paradise is always a place upon earth. And according to the scriptures, at some point, we will return to a paradise just like the one that Adam and Eve lived in, only better, because it will not be the type of paradise that can be defiled as Adam and Eve defiled the one that God put them in. I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful, not permitted for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Seems a big thing today that men like to exalt themselves. I guess that's always been the case. Men like to exalt themselves. It also seems to be the case that men exalt other men. You're such a wonderful, you're just awesome, you've changed the world, you're this, you're that. But we are all but men. We're all but sinners. Were it not for the Lord God Almighty and His great mercy and compassion and love to provide for us a Savior that we could be redeemed and made righteous, we would perish. God is our strength, and He has seen to it through His great love and mercy that we would have opportunities to walk and talk with Him and be part of His family. Not through anything we have done, not because we are, as my dad would say, such a much, but because God saw fit to love us. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying he could be exalted because of the revelation, the abundance of it. You know, the Apostle Paul received more revelation and was given the privilege to record more revelation than any other man we know of in the Scripture. Paul was given the revelation to write as well as teach and preach what we now have in the seven church epistles. Paul was given that revelation also to write and teach and record for us Timothy and Titus. It's just awesome. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Thessalonians, all these things. And many believe Hebrews as well. Paul, above all other men, above Peter, above any other man who walked and talked with God, the Apostle Paul received an abundance of revelation. Now, you could boast about that. Look, I got more than anybody else, right? But because of this, there was a thorn in his flesh. And it wasn't from God. It's clearly a messenger of whom? Satan. Now, there are those who say, oh, Paul was sick. You know, and usually the preacher who says Paul was sick try to give Paul the same malady that the particular preacher had. But that's not what it's talking about. Talking about different things, which I'll read to you in a moment from the 11th chapter. But let's just finish what we have begun here. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And look what he said unto me. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now that seems an odd thing to say. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What he's talking about there is when you get to the point in life that you, as a man or as a woman, as a human being, realize you've reached the end of your rope. Nothing you can do. And often, sadly, that's when people turn to God, when they reach the end of their rope, as a, you know, figure of speech, the end of the rope. I guess that figure refers to when a person is hung and you reach the end of the rope, I guess. I don't know, but you know what it means figuratively. Just nothing you can do. You are just at a loss. You are completely overwhelmed. There is nothing that you in life can do. And you acknowledge that. When you acknowledge that, when you acknowledge in the depth of your soul that it's got to be God, then His strength is made perfect in your life. Because you're no longer relying upon your ability. You're no longer relying upon the ability of whoever you tend to look up to as another human. Whether it be a government group, whether it be a boss, whether it be finances, whether it be doctors, whether it be lawyers, whomever it might be. A loved family member. When you realize that it's got to be God, because there's nothing that man can do, then His strength is made perfect in you. He said unto me, my grace, of course, grace is undeserved favor. Didn't earn it, it was freely given. It's sufficient, it's enough. God's grace is enough for Paul, God's grace is enough for us. For my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness, in man's weakness. Paul accepted and said by revelation, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, when I acknowledge that as a man, nothing I can do, then am I strong, because my strength comes from within and it comes from God. What a record. It seems a difficult concept to wrap one's head around at times, because you want to do something when you're in a situation that's pressing you, that's challenging you. You want to be able to do the best, and of course you should do whatever it is that's within your ability to do. But never forget where the true strength comes from. The things Paul was talking about here are found in part in the 11th chapter. So if you go back a page or whatever, however it's in your Bible, we'll begin to read here. And we'll begin in verse 1, because I want to get a little context here. Because they were the individuals that are, you know, Corinthians is, for the most part, reproof epistle. And 2 Corinthians gives the heart behind the reproof that was found and delivered in 1 Corinthians. Because the saints at Corinth, they didn't respond well to the reproof, as often people don't. They kind of wilted a bit. And so God gave Paul additional revelation to record, which we find in 2 Corinthians, and it gives the heart behind it. Sometimes you need to know the heart behind something to really comprehend. It's like when you're a child and mama fans your butt or puts you in your place, you don't really understand why. But then when you get older, oh, you go, yes, now I understand why that was. And so it is with our relationship with God. And so it is, and so it was with the Corinthians. They were under the influence of others who were saying Paul was, you know, there are better guys around than Paul. He doesn't have the market on God's word cornered. You don't need to listen to just him. Yada, yada, yada. And so Paul said, by revelation, would to God, verse 1, you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest, by any means, As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So easy for a person's mind to be corrupted and seduced. The world is constantly at it, whether it be through religious factions, whether it be through scientific factions, whether it be through current events, other people, people close to you. There's always something trying to erode the truth of God's word from your life and sell you some other kind of a wolf ticket, whether it's a magic act or whether it's just, well, you know, this is all nonsense. Why do you believe this anyway? Whether it's some way of trying to beat down your belief system. Either way, it's so easy to be seduced, to be beguiled, just like Eve was, and your mind to be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, you mean there is another one? Well, apparently, because the word Jesus, the name Jesus, is one that it's, I don't know if I would call it commonplace name, but it's certainly held by a number of individuals in the scriptures even. Another Jesus, they were preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, why are things different all of a sudden? Everything is great. Before it wasn't so good, or it wasn't good enough. The truth of God's word wasn't good enough. This is better. That sort of thing. Or another gospel. Listen, we got a greater handle on this word of God than that other individual, Paul. I mean, what did he know after all? Listen to us. Which if not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. You know, maybe I wasn't so funny, so sharp, so witty, so well-spoken. Though I be rude in speech, Paul said, not knowledge. For we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted because I preached to you the gospel of God? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things, I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not? God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. So there must be such a thing, eh? Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak, I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I'll glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. What Paul had presented to these people, like, wasn't it good enough that these false apostles came in and they said, you know, we got a better handle on this than Paul. Listen to us. He's not so well spoken. He's not so witty. He's just Paul. Are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? Well, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And here it is. Here's the messenger of Satan and these individuals that he was just speaking of, trying to draw people away to corrupt their minds and the simplicity that's in Christ into something else, just like Satan beguiled Eve. Here it is. Here's the different things that Paul encountered, all part of this. Are they ministers of Christ? I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. That's beatings, you know. In prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 lashes across the back. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned with rocks. And the record indicates he may have died. And the believers that circled round about him prayed and God raised him from the dead. That does seem to be a possibility in that record if you read it. All these are in the book of Acts. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, floating in the water, treading water, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. These are the messengers of Satan that Paul refers to in the next chapter, which we read prior to this chapter. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know, and so they say, well, look at all these things that befell Paul. Surely he must be out of God's favor. Certainly we are better than he. All those messengers of Satan. And who is weak? And I am not weak. And who is offended? And I burn not. Well, he didn't burn out because of it. He still believed God. He still walked with God and he was not weak. Why? Because God strengthened him with might by way of his spirit within his inner man. Just like we read in verse 9 of chapter 12. Who is weak? I'm not weak. If I must needs glory, I'll glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me. See, if you just continue reading, rather than allowing chapter 12 to disrupt your thought content, you'll see that it's a continuation of the same thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy. Inner strength, where does it come from? I charge thee before God, verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Need to hear more and more and more. It ain't good enough. This word of God isn't good enough. I need more. Something else. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch. Thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul is giving Timothy last-minute instructions by revelation, for Timothy was to step into Paul's position after Paul was gone. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all them that love his appearing. You skip on down, he talks about all these individuals, Alexander the coppersmith, which I believe is the same individual as the silversmith who caused that big riot, that big union meeting that's in the book of Acts over the goddess Diana and the little idols that they made. Did him much evil. You know, it continues all these individuals, but verse 17, Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Just a little side note, you'll see that Linus, in verse 21, was one of the last first century believers to stand with Paul. I guess he's my granddaddy's namesake. Or, yes, I guess that's how that worked. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We give thanks, verse 3, to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard, we do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to what? His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and thank with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 3. Back a couple of books. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. That's where true strength comes from. Inner strength. You can pray for anybody who's a born-again Christian to be strengthened with might by way of God's Spirit in their inner man, including yourself, by the way, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Where does real strength come from? It comes from within. How does it come from within? It comes from God, who will strengthen us with might by way of his Spirit in our inner man. Often all you need to do is but ask. Father, thank you once again for your love, and thank you for calling us unto your family. Thank you for filling us with your Spirit and for strengthening us with might by way of your Spirit in our inner man. Helping us to see, Father, that true strength comes from within, and that the outward physical strength is truly just a fleeting reality, here today and gone tomorrow. But the strength that comes from within comes from you and is available to us at any time, any place, in any situation, for as long as we walk and talk with you. And we long for the day, Father, when you send your Son back and we can walk and talk with him throughout all eternity. Thank you for the great promises in your word that are all yea and amen. Thank you, Father, for the promise, hope of your Son's return, that the day will come when we shall see him as he is, and we shall know even as we are known. In the interim, Father, thank you for strengthening us in accordance with your Spirit, which is in our inner man. Thank you, Father, that we can acknowledge that we are weak, but you are strong. And when we acknowledge that, your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.